so many today. And as I say, they are taken up with this thought of, what does tomorrow hold for me? Where will I be in 5 years' time? I remember going to job interviews, and that was one of the favourite questions they asked. Well, if you were to get this job, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? Many thoughts went through your head as to how to answer it. But where is it going to take us? Where is the path of life going to lead us? And indeed, a whole industry has grown up today in order to feed that great crazed desire as to what the future holds. What does tomorrow hold for us? What does next week hold for us? What job will we have? What standard of living will we have? How will it work out for us? Is there something bad going to happen to us? Or is there something good going to happen to us? First page that many people turn to in the newspaper, the horoscopes, the star signs. Well, what does my star sign tell me today? What's it going to tell me about the next 7 days of my life? What's going to happen to me? I'm sad to say, yes, that some even of God's people have fallen into that trap. Become obsessed with this demon-possessed behavior. As if God is going to reveal to some agent of hell what God's plan for my life is and what God's plan for your life is. You see, folks, tonight God in his infinite wisdom has revealed certain things to us about our life. He has allowed us to know certain matters about our life. Where we've come from. Who we are. How we stand before God. And how we can be redeemed from that disease of sin which we are all inflicted with. And for each one that's saved, he set down certain standards of holiness, certain practices that we must follow. And so many other things we could talk about that God has revealed to us in his word about our lives. And revealed matters about life itself. But as we come to verse 14 here of James chapter 4, I believe the Holy Spirit, through James, has revealed to us some very important facts about our life. Facts that we can so easily overlook. Yes, we know this verse well. But actually, when we look into this verse, this is not really a verse of mystery, as it were. There's great teaching here. There's great truth for us here to learn. Yes, it's true. He has not revealed everything to us about our life, no way. There are things that he has protected from us. There are things that he has shaded from us. But there are certain undeniable realities God has revealed to all mankind. And the reason, you see, he reveals these things about our life is that we may make preparation. God hasn't left us in the dark. That when certain things happen to us, we may not be taken unawares, because God has told us that certain matters which relate to our life will happen. You may remember, a few years back, I'm sure my age probably, but on TV there was a program presented by Eamon Andrews and then by Michael Aspel. And he would have went up to a famous person and would have presented this big red book to them. And on the front of that red book it would have had the words, "This is your life." Well, folks, today I want us to take not just any book, but I want us to take the word of God tonight, and I want us to see what God has revealed to us about our life. And I'm going to use that title tonight as our subject and the basis of what we want to speak on. This is your life, as revealed in the Word of God. This is your life. The first thing I want you to notice with me from verse 14 is that its direction is unknown. Look what it says at the start, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Its direction, the direction of life, is unknown. You see, despite all the claims of the clairvoyant, despite all the claims of that woman sitting in some caravan somewhere looking into a crystal ball, not one of us knows what shall be on the morrow. They have no more notion as to what will happen to your eye tomorrow than we do. We know not. The direction of our life is hidden. All the twists and turns of life are hidden from us, and we should thank God for it. Those things that God has laid up for us, whether they be good or whether they be ill, have not been revealed to us. Tomorrow is unknown. Yes, we can sit down. We can reminisce over the past. We can talk about a day that's gone. We can say about the things that happened to us in a past day. We can remember childhood and talk about all that happened to us as children. We can then come up through teenage and adult life and talk about all the twists and turns and everything that has happened to us up until this very moment. We can talk about what yesterday held for us, what we did yesterday, where we went yesterday. All these things we can talk about, but there's one thing we can't talk about with any certainty, and that is tomorrow. In school, our two girls, every Monday morning, they have to sit down and they have to talk about their weekend. And they have to write or draw about things that happened to them at the weekend. And we can all do that. But we cannot talk about the future with any such certainty. Yes, we can plan. Yes, we can make our preparations, and that's all fine. But not one of us knows if we'll ever see those plans that we've made fulfilled. Tomorrow may bring us great happiness. Tomorrow may bring us such great joy. But on the other hand, tomorrow may bring us great sorrow. Tomorrow may bring us great heaviness of heart. We don't know. Dark days may be ahead of us just as well as the good days. We just do not know. The boasting about tomorrow that James talks about, and we see it so much in our day and generation, verse 13. They say, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They are sure that they're going tomorrow into a certain city. They are sure that tomorrow they will buy and they will sell. And they are sure that they will get gain. They're absolutely certain that the plans they have made will be fulfilled. Even though they, like we, live in a world of death and uncertainty all around us, yet they are so certain that they will see these things fulfilled. Then there's the rebuke that comes in verse 15. And it says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. God didn't enter into any of their reasoning. And to the ungodly tonight, God doesn't enter into his reasoning or enter into his thinking about the plans for tomorrow. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you've got everything laid out for this week. You've got all the plans laid out. You know where you're going tomorrow. You know what you want to achieve by the end of this week. But have you ever thought about God? Have you ever taken a moment just to reckon with a holy God? I believe there's great instruction there even for the child of God. If the Lord will, we shall live. And while we make our plans for living, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them, we should always preface our plans with, Lord willing, God willing, if the Lord will, we'll do this and we'll do that. Oh, let us never be so presumptuous about tomorrow. Let us never be so conceited about tomorrow that we make our plans and yet forget about God. How many people this time last week had all their plans made? Knew what they were going to do and never saw one of those plans fulfilled because today they're in God's eternity. I'm sure you were horrified by the double murder of those two ladies over in Turkey. There were two women out for a holiday. And you know one thing I believe they never reckoned on? That they would be coming back to their home place in a coffin. That didn't reckon in their plan. That didn't come at all into their thinking. They planned to have a good time. They planned to enjoy their holiday, but they never planned for death. They never thought about the things of God. How many people have gone into God's eternity, leaving behind all the plans they've made? Perhaps some catastrophe has befallen their life, some terrible event. And the plans they made for living are all gone. Man believes today he's the master of his own destiny. Maybe you think today you can live your life as you please. And yes, you can. And you can do what you want and not take God into your reckoning. You can live your life without God. You can die without God. But I'll tell you this, you'll never get to heaven without God. Never account for the undeniable fact that God is supreme and sovereign in your life. And that one day you'll give an account. Direction is unknown. We know not what shall be in the morrow. I want you to come into the verse again with me. I want you to see secondly here that its duration is uncertain. The verse goes on and asks the question, what is your life? And the answer is given. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Its duration is uncertain. It appeareth, a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Oh, the scriptures are so clear and so vivid, aren't they? Aren't they in their use of language? They leave us in no doubt. We can all picture a vapor. We can all picture a mist, a breath. That vapor that rises from the boiling kettle or the boiling steam, we see it and then it's gone. You go out on a cold, frosty morning and you can see your breath in the air. But it's only there for a little time. And then it's gone. That vapor can also refer to smoke. It refers, it's used in smoke in other places. And you can see the smoke that rises above something that's burning. And that smoke will last as long as the material is there, the burning material is there. And you'll see it clearly for a time. There'll be no mistaking it. But yet when that fire is put out, and that burning material is no longer in fire, the smoke will quickly disappear and it's gone. Did you ever stop to think just how fickle your life and mine really is? Appeareth for a little time, a vapor that's here, and gone. Do you ever look at a cloud of smoke and think that's just my life? Stand even at the boiling kettle and see the steam rising, that's just my life. Oh, I see it. But then it's gone. Its duration is uncertain. Oh, we may live longer than someone else. We may outlive our peers. At the end of the day, life is all so uncertain. We think we're here forever. We make our plans as if we're going to be here for a very long time, that this is going to be our everlasting abode. You look around you, and you see men building their empires of wealth and getting their roots so deep down into this world as if they're going to stay here for the rest of their lives and they're going to be here forever and ever. Yet all around, day after day, we see death on every hand. Death has come once again on our road. This church has once again in this week that has gone known what it is to have death. The angel of death has come and we see it in every hand. And yet people still think they're going to be here for eternity. You ever go to a funeral, perhaps of a sudden death, an unexpected death, and you hear people saying those words, it would make you think, wouldn't it? It would make you just stop and think what's important. But yet how quickly those thoughts can disappear. And they can so easily get back into the humdrum of life, and the thoughts of how uncertain life really is are quickly gone, and they go about their business. Your life and mine, dear friend, tonight is only a vapor. Here today, to be gone tomorrow. And in comparison to an endless eternity, life is for a little time. In contrast to the everlasting nature of God, life is so short. John Newton wrote the words, of course, of amazing grace, and he said, when we've been there, talking about the child of God in heaven, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've only just begun. And sinner, tonight, when you've been in hell 10,000 years, having rejected Jesus Christ all your life, you'll have only just begun. Listen to the account of Job. My Job knew what it was to be surrounded by death. As he watched 10 coffins leave his home, as he watched his health go, his wealth go, and he says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Of few days. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. See the language? A flower that buddeth and then is cut down. A shadow that appears for a little time and then it's gone. It ceases to exist. It's no longer there. Life, its duration is uncertain tonight. And we need to make our preparation. Not for living, but for dying.
If you're in this meeting tonight without Jesus Christ, you need to realize that your life is so uncertain. Yes, you could live to 100. But there will come a day. There will come a day when this life will be over. Life, its direction is unknown. Its duration is uncertain. But look at the end of the verse 14. Its dissolution is undeniable. It says, then vanisheth away. We do not know what the path of life may take. We don't know how long we've left to live. But one thing I do know, and that is one day I will die. One day I'll leave this world behind. And breath will be dissolved from my body. That's an undeniable fact. That's one thing we all have in common. We all will pass the way of death. For some, it will be in youth. And how many of our young people so sadly and tragically die in teenage years? It's a sad thing to go to the funeral of a young person. Could die in youth. For others it could be in middle age. And for others it could be past the allotted span of God, the 70 years, or the time frame that's set down in Scripture. But whatever length of time we live, God has been good, because God has extended the day of grace even to this very moment. But there's one thing sure. We will all die. Paul says it's appointed unto man once to die. The day of our death has been appointed. The very moment that we leave this world behind, the very circumstances in which we die, it had all been appointed in the eternal counsels of God. And listen, my friend, tonight, whether you want to accept it or not, that's what God's word tells us. Our life, like the pages of a book, just as you'd flick one page over and start a new page, One day, we know not when, we'll flick over the last page of our book of life. And then it'll be all over. But death is not the end. There is more after death. Because yes, Paul says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, judgment. And sinner, tonight it's the after this that you need to be prepared for. Because it'll either be in God's heaven or it'll be in God's hell. You'll either go out of this life and leave this scene of time rejecting Jesus Christ and hear those awful, terrible words, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire. Or you'll leave this world behind, having accepted Jesus Christ, and hear those lovely words come, enter ye into the rest. God tells us we all one day will die. This is a fact of life. This is something He makes clear for us. And that's why we need to be prepared. Because we will stand without excuse on that day. If you reject Jesus Christ, you'll stand without excuse. You see, what you do with Christ in life will determine what he does with you in death. So sad when you hear people thinking, I think God will just open the gates of heaven and let me in. Oh yes, I can live a life of sin all I want, but that God is going to open the gates of heaven and let you in at the day of your death? No. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, and you must be prepared for the after this. How do you get prepared? Is it a matter of going into a solicitor's office, getting your will made, getting all the financial affairs made? Nothing wrong with that. My friend, this is far more serious. This is far more serious than financial matters. We were talking last Sabbath evening about the soul and about gaining the whole world and yet losing your own soul. If you're going to meet God right in the judgment day, then you must prepare for that now. You must get right with Jesus Christ now. Job says, man dieth, wasteth away. Where is he? Where would you be? Where would you be 5 minutes after your death? As the people gather around your open casket, my friend, where would you be? And it matters not what you've left behind. It matters not how much financial preparation you've made and trying to get everything in order. My friend, if your heart is not right with God in life, then you will be lost in death. Therefore he comes and says, prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. How do we do that? Well, we obey the message of the gospel when he says, repent and believe the gospel. Turn from your sin, turn from all your sinful living and turn to Christ. We obey the invitation of the gospel when he says, come unto me. And there's the urgency of the gospel to come now. You see, there's a great problem that you might think you've another opportunity. You might think, I've heard all that before. I've listened to all those sort of sermons before, but I'll have another time. Just like Felix, as he stood before Paul. And he said, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Felix's convenient season never came, because his convenient time was now. And my friend, the time to get right with God is not tomorrow. It's now. It's now. And enjoy the promise of the gospel. He says, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. My friend, you come to Jesus Christ tonight. He'll save you and he'll save you gladly. He'll make you ready for heaven and for home tonight. It doesn't matter what you've lived or how you've lived your life up until this moment. He'll save you tonight. Make you whiter than the snow. And now enjoy the blessings of the gospel as we were considering this morning. Eternal life. Eternal security in Jesus Christ will never be lost. Oh, you say tonight, yes, preacher, I know that one day I'll die. I know that one day I'll leave this world. But did you ever think that it could be tonight? Did you ever think that this may be your last night? God may never come again to you. You may never hear another gospel opportunity. Psalmist David said, and uttered such true words, he said, there is but a step between me and death. You could step out those doors tonight, and the next time you come in through it would be in a coffin. Now you say, that's a bit frantic preaching. My friend, no, that's the truth of the Word of God. We know not what shall be in the morrow. There is but a step for me in death at any moment. At any moment we could be cut off and our mortal, this mortal frame of ours returned to the dust. This could be the night of your death. And you must be ready. You must be prepared. Tonight you must be saved. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I close tonight the illustration of a man I read about in the Gospel of Luke. He was a rich man. He was a farmer. He had much of this world's goods. And he had great plans for the future. He had been successful in what he did. And he surveyed all his empire and he thought, I'm going to build greater than this. I'm going to pull down those puny little things I have and I'm going to build greater. God came to him and he said, thou fool, this night. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee in heaven. Made all the plans for the future, but made no plans for dying. My friend, tonight, are you ready to meet God? Are you ready tonight to leave this world behind? You see it tonight. You're right with God tonight, then I pray that if you're not, that this will be the night. Oh, don't sin away the day of grace any longer. Come tonight. Come tonight and be saved. Turn. Turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting. And steer for the harbour bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Turn while the Saviour in mercy is waiting. Get right with God tonight. Come and be saved tonight. Don't leave it any longer. Will you come tonight and get ready for heaven? Get ready to meet God. So that whatever life may bring, and should this be your last night on this earth, you'll know with full assurance in your heart that it's right with God. Will you come and be saved? Will you do it tonight? Let's bow in a word of prayer.